The Apostle Paul, when he'd go to a new city, he would not go down and check out the Hilton. He'd go down and check out the local jail, because he knew if he preached as God had called him to, that's where he'd spend the night.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about looking at, analyzing, discussing an issue by way of question. What about mass baptisms that we're hearing so much about across America? Our previous caller was very, very much on spot with his statement that his pastor had preached that you must first of all repent, believe, be saved before you're baptized. I commend him for that. Now, my question is, how many of those that were excited about the numbers and the emotion that caused them to go through the baptismal waters that had never truly repented? This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, for the need of a local New Testament church where there's the analysis individually, not collectively, not with a mass number, in my most humble opinion, that there's the answerability for that person that says, I'm saved. There are a lot of folks that want to get baptized today. In fact, I find it very, very staggering. I'm looking at the headline, Southern Baptist membership is the lowest in 50 years. Subtitled, leaders celebrate a 250,000 baptisms, the most since before the pandemic. Now, let me read a paragraph or two, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, and get your response to it. The Southern Baptist Convention continued its 18-year membership slide last year. While churches in the country's largest denomination saw the biggest crowds on Sunday services and small groups, as well as more believers proclaiming their faith through baptism. Now, here's my conundrum. If we're witnessing in that denomination an 18-year membership slide, the lowest in 50 years, and yet the largest number of baptisms, what's wrong with that picture? Dr. Phelps, would you say that some that got baptized weren't saved? Is that the potential? What are your thoughts in relationship to that?
Only the Lord knows the hearts of those who come to be baptized. But I'm concerned that many of those who are being baptized today can be people who just want to follow the crowd.
Right.
That's what everybody else is doing. I should participate in such an activity. But the scriptures teach us, for example, in Ephesians and chapter 1, Paul made the statement to them about their obedience to the hearing of the word of God, the word of truth, as he said it. He says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What Paul is saying there is that people trust in the Lord, and then God works in their hearts a work that is called regeneration. mm-hmm. being born again. And then after that, then comes the sealing of the Spirit of Promise. We believe that other places in the Scriptures also has something to say along that same line. People, first of all, need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they learn that, and they find that truth in the gospel of Christ. And so a person who is being baptized should have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith.
Absolutely.
And so let me make this statement as I want to just insert this. Salvation is in a person, not in baptism. Mm-hmm. It's in a person because we, in salvation, we become united to Him, and He becomes that eternal life in us. That is, He is the source of eternal life. You don't find that is true in religion, as it might say. Our relationship with God doesn't involve religion or rituals or rites. And baptism is a rite, mm-hmm. or a ritual, either one you want to call that. A right relationship with God is only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you cannot just say baptism makes that possible.
That's right, absolutely. Dr. Davis, in our pre-broadcast discussion here in our studio, you made a statement that I'd like for you to repeat, if you can recall it, about a place and time, you don't have to call any church names, where you were invited to participate in a swimming pool baptism in somebody's backyard. Talk about that.
Well, I mean, once again, this particular action, I think, was based on the person being uninformed. Mm-hmm. There should not have been a reason for that.
That's right.
Because we all have a Bible. Mm-hmm. If we want to do it God's way, and if we want to know it God's way, or how the procedure, how to do it, then we should consult the Scripture and do it God's way if we intend to please Him. Mm-hmm. If we're just trying to please ourselves or increase the membership so that we could write ourselves a bigger paycheck, mm-hmm. As pastors, then we are approaching it the wrong way. Because once again, we're not trying to attack anyone who is doing it right, such as this other pastor that the caller just called in about.
Yes.
Thank God for him that I would say he's on our side.
Correct.
But as senior members in the ministry today, all three of us, I have 40 years in the ministry, praise God, being saved, amen, and preaching the gospel. And so I believe that God gives me the spiritual authority to hold someone else accountable.
Absolutely.
If they're not doing it according to His word.
That's right.
Because I am now a custodian. We are all custodians, mm-hmm. of this word. And we must see that it's done the correct way. But with this procedure that happened, so maybe better than 10 years ago now, I refused to partake in that because I knew the right way.
Right.
I knew that this wasn't going to be pleasing to God. And once again, I was holding myself accountable to God for what I knew was right and pleasing in His sight. So I refused that, to partake in that, for the same reason, what I just got finished saying. I want to please God in all that I do.
Yes.
Because when I stand before Him, I want to hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
We're all working, amen, to be able to hear those words when we stand before Him. So when this particular thing took place and I looked at the individuals, and I pretty much knew every one of them personally, I knew pretty much all of them, who they were, kind of life they were living at the present time. And I myself had not heard them confess Christ. Mm-hmm. To be a part of their lives immediately. You see, that's what we got to do. We got to weigh things out through the lens of Scripture.
Absolutely.
And make sure that we're doing it right. Immediately, I said, no, And if you guys want to proceed with this, then you go ahead. But I knew that once again, from what I was taught by my elders in the church, and it's a funny saying, and it might sound like it's trying to cut somebody down, but it's a lot of truth in it. They said, when you take an unregenerate, unsaved person to the water to baptize them, they go down a dry devil and they come up a wet devil.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because they've never received Christ. Satan is still ruling and controlling their lives. And when they get wet in the water, yeah, that might bring a little joy. It feels good. I like water on my skin. Mm-hmm. I like to take a bath. It feels, mm-hmm, it's refreshing. But what did that accomplish for the soul? So that person is just going to come out of that water. And I'm a witness of this too. Even some of those that did that day, when they went back out in life and started having other problems, they began to wonder, what's wrong? Where did I go wrong?
There's the
Why
key.
Is my life not
yes.
any better?
There's the key. Mm-hmm.
Because I've been baptized. It's the wrong concept and it's the wrong idea. So this is what we're attacking today as ministers of the gospel. We're not attacking those who are, because Satan is behind the whole thing.
Yes.
So we're not attacking the person.
Mm-hmm.
We're attacking the spirit of error that's out there, so that people who are in the church, if you are truly saved, you really mean right from your heart and you really love God and want to serve him, we don't want you to be led away with the same error as the others.
Absolutely. And the truth of it is, as we are challenging our listeners to ponder, consider, analyze, and prayerfully look at, have I been born again? That's the bottom line. One of the things that we find, and I can say this, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, out of all of these years, about 60 plus now of ministry, I found those that you work with, you pray with, you walk through the scripture with, and watch them pray and confess sin, invite Christ to come into their heart and save them. 6 months later, 12 months later, you can't find them with a CIA search warrant. So it can be on a personal one-on-one basis. Even then, you can find those that will make a decision by emotion and not based on true faith in Jesus Christ. I've used the term, and I think it is fitting, the faith that falters before the finish had a fatal flaw at the first. I believe there are a lot of folks today that place their faith in the baptism and not in Jesus Christ. In fact, Dr. Davis, let me read this and get your statement. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38, and then when they heard this, they heard the word, they were pricked. That means they were stricken in the heart. They were cut in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? The Holy Spirit of God spoke. They had heard the message and they were pricked in the heart, that is convicted. Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, repent. Dr. Phelps, where is repentance when you see so much of what is happening today? Now, I'm not challenging and questioning the intent of the pastor. I'm challenging and questioning the intent of the mass numbers, especially when you look at it. My question has always been, ladies and gentlemen, when we see this mass baptism phenomena, how many of them find a local New Testament church, join that church, place their faith and trust in Christ, follow him in believer's baptism, and then follow him in submission and service to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Very, very, may I say again, very few do you see that. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is the evidence of salvation. Where there's no works, there's no fruit, there's no salvation. The little book of James says that. Show me your faith by your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. If we're saved, if we've said yes to Jesus as Savior, we're going to serve out of a heart of submission and conviction the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, what say you?
Well, one of the things I was just thinking about as I heard you speaking is that some people just want to be religious.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good enough. We need a living relationship with the Lord.
Correct.
The truth about God's great salvation is that we do not have just a religion, but we have a living relationship with the true and living God. Now, there's a sin problem here involved. When we think about relationship, there's a sin problem that's involved. And that's why we have to be changed. We have to be born again. We can have a relationship with God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by baptism." No, I have to correct that, don't I? Mm-hmm. No one can come to the Father except by me. Mm-hmm. So He is the living way. He is the Savior. That because of the sin problem, people need to be saved. Because of the sin problem, we are alienated from God.
That's right.
And we're without God and without Christ in this world until we are saved, mm-hmm. not baptized.
That's right.
Saved comes first. Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, came to deliver us from the penalty and the power and the punishing wrath of God against sin. When He suffered at the cross and shed His precious blood for us, Jesus reconciled us to God. And we then can have forgiveness of sins. And that's only made possible by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Him that we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So by the gospel of Christ, God calls us out of religion, if you please, to have a personal relationship with Him and with His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing Christians have something better than religion. We can know that we have a relationship with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Father said would be our Savior. Our relationship with God does not involve rituals or religion. The right relationship with God is only in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in a ritual. Church ritual or religious ritual. Our personal relationship with God is not by good works or being good or keeping the law. Instead, it's only by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. A personal relationship with God is not because we're brought up in a good home or being a citizen in this country, or even belonging to a church. Instead, it's only by our personal choice to believe on the Son of God. Then we'll discover something that's better than religion.
Amen. I like that. Dr. Davis, let me just postulate a scenario and ask you to respond from an analysis of it and from a biblical perspective. If we're having such a phenomenal number coming to Christ, i.e. baptism today, as we're hearing it, across the nation, across denominational lines. If that is the case, why are churches closing? Why are churches deficit with so many not sitting in the pews in the church? Is it possible that a number of these may be well-meaning from the pastor's standpoint, maybe well-meaning for those that are orchestrating the event, maybe well-meaning from the standpoint of their intent. Is it possible that because of the excitement and the aura of it all, that it will bring multitudes to be baptized, get a baptismal certificate, or relate back to it, that I'm on my way to heaven because I was baptized? You'd be surprised how many people I've talked with and asked them, "Are you saved? Are you going to heaven?" And they will say, "Well, I was baptized on such and such a date." How do you respond to that? And for our listeners, Dr. Davis, what do you say to those that perhaps are out there? Perhaps we've got folks listening today that they're placing their trust in heaven based on baptism. What do you say?
Well, let me say, first of all, to be sure that you have the proper understanding of Scripture, mm-hmm. and who God is.
Yes.
You see, on the other hand, the devil is not a joke. Mm-hmm. The Bible says he came for three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
That's right.
So however he approaches that or does that, you know, he doesn't care. He pulls out all of the stops. But one of the main weapons he uses is ignorance or a lack of knowledge, especially pertaining to the Word of God. So we, once again, as ministers, able-bodied ministers of the gospel, it's been committed into our hands today. We can spread the good news from the explanation what Dr. Phelps just got finished saying about baptism, about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ for us is to be able to tell the world that you don't have to kill animals anymore. You don't have to go to the high priest anymore. The book of Hebrews say, a believer, we can come boldly to the throne of grace.
Amen.
To first obtain mercy and then find grace to help us in a time of need. That will apply also to the person who makes a serious commitment to Christ and then makes a decision to be baptized. So I would say the reason why the commitment to supporting the church is not happening is because there has never been a serious commitment to serve Christ.
That's it. That's
so that's the answer to the whole situation.
That's generally the bottom line. Dr. Phelps, I believe our listeners need to understand, and of course I'm referring in my mind to Romans, the 6th chapter, the first 5 or 6 verses. What we talk about today is, what is the meaning of baptism? I think we need to get to the rudimentary fundamentals of that. Baptism is not salvation. I'm caused to be reminded of the thief on the cross. He says to Jesus Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say, son, you're hanging on the cross. You got no opportunity. You can't get baptized, so you can't go to heaven. So our listeners need to understand, baptism does not save.
Amen.
And there are multitudes today, I believe, in this mass movement, in Gen Z in particular, the mass movement of baptism, there's a mindset. In fact, multitudes of denominations today believe that baptism washes away sin. Baptism doesn't wash away a single sin. We need to understand, what is baptism? What is the meaning of baptism according to Romans chapter 6, Dr. Phelps?
In Romans chapter 6, we learn that Paul was teaching us the meaning of water baptism. Mm-hmm. And baptism then is a way that we testify that we are identifying ourselves with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Identifying ourselves with Christ then is a very special thing, and it places us, it's a way that God places us in a position so we know who we are. Mm-hmm. We are in Christ.
Right.
And in Christ is the place where I want to be. There are two groups of people in this world today. Those who are in Adam, that's the lost, and those who are in Christ, that's the saved.
Amen.
Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. As in Adam, all die. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And when we're baptized, then, we testify that we are a new creation in Christ.
Amen.
We're a new person, and we're walking in a way of life.
Amen.
That's different. So we're giving a testimony also in baptism that we belong to Christ. Mm-hmm. We are God's people, and that's the meaning of baptism. We are identifying ourselves with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Absolutely. And when we look at Romans, the 6th chapter, we understand that we go down into the water. That's symbolic of our dying to self, being buried in Christ, and the Bible says to be raised in Christ to walk in newness of life. Dr. Davis, our time is rapidly dissipating. I hate to say that. Still so much more that can be said. But when I go back to the Acts, the 2nd chapter, then Peter said unto them, repent. So let's look at the text in verse 37. It says that they were convicted. Their hearts were pricked. They had heard the word. They were convicted in the heart. And after conviction of the need to be saved, then the Bible says next thing is repent. What does the word repent mean?
Repent means to change your mind or to change direction. You have to come in agreement with God that your way of living, your outlook on life is wrong. Because his word says it's wrong. So when you come into agreement with God and you decide to repent, that's godly sorrowful. In other words, it's not sorry because you got caught.
That's right.
With anything, but you are sorry that you did anything in offense against God and against his word. Mm-hmm. You repent, you turn around, you change your mind about that and go in a different direction. You don't make a 360, you make a 180. You go in a different direction, once again, and start walking in newness of life now and begin to glorify God in the way that you live and in the thing that you do.
Change of heart, change of direction, and change of mind. So as we look at the biblical authority, the Bible is saying there must be a conviction of sin. There must be the repentance of sin and then the receiving of Christ and then believer's baptism. And then in Acts chapter 2 it says, and they were added unto the church daily. So becoming a church member, being a part of the fellowship of the body of Christ, is after you've been convicted of sin, repented of sin, received Christ as Savior, followed him in believer's baptism, and then you're part of the body of Christ. Not just by walking through a tub of water and saying that now I'm okay, I don't have to go to church, I can watch by way of television or internet, I don't have to be a part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And final thought today, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, my thought goes to Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40, where Philip was involved with the Ethiopian eunuch. He led him to faith in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says that the eunuch said, what hinders me from being baptized?
Amen.
What did Philip say to him, Dr. Davis?
If thou believest, thou mayest. Mm-hmm. So he's directing him to believe in Christ first.
Right. Believe.
Because he had already heard the word preached. Mm-hmm. So once he heard that.
Again, it matches believe. What you find in Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
Heard, convicted of sin, and repented. And the scripture says they went down into the water, came up out of the water. Baptism, baptizo, means to be immersed in the water. After faith in Christ, after repenting of sin, being baptized to say, I'm showing an outward sign of an inward change. I've said yes to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.